Hey, everybody. I'm Jane.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Medium Curious Podcast, the show that's blowing the doors off of all of those closets that mediums used to live in.
But not anymore.
No more closets.
Just cars.
We are a medium in a car making a podcast today.
And on today's podcast, we have Carla Kaufman Sloan, who is an Emmy-winning writer and TV executive producer, but she's also the answer to my friend Eliza's call out to the universe.
Oh.
So do you want to meet her?
I can't wait. Amazing. I've only heard about her for 1,000 years. Yay.
Okay. Here we go.
So I found Sex Education, the TV show, later than most people because I did. So I got to binge it all from beginning to end.
So
but
happy.
I couldn't do it at home because I wasn't sure if I wanted to share with my son about that.
No, I know.
Show.
The high schooler. I don't show my high schooler this high school show, like 100%. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think my ninth grader, I'd be a little squeamish about, he wouldn't want to watch that with me. There's no way he'd watch that with me. Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm not nope. with you. But then once you tell them about it, they're not with you, but they're watching it. But so I had a mediumship class and my son came through. He was being so funny with this woman, this other medium, and being like, there's two boys talking about sex and he's letting me know and he's making fun of me that I'm uncomfortable, but you get uncomfortable. And so it was this whole long message. And that night I hadn't finished binging. So I had a night alone. I turned it on. It's the episode where they go on a field trip. And this bus pulls into the frame. They go to Paris.
Yes, right.
And bus pulls into frame. No one has ever noticed this before except for me. And on the side of the bus, it says Calder.
Oh, oh my God. You guys, her boy's name is Calder. Oh my God, that's so good.
So I had just gotten the reading. He was laughing and he's like, I'm going to be there tonight while you're watching it. Ha ha. I was like, thank you.
He was there.
So funny. Man. Right?
That's so exciting.
That's just the sweetest thing ever. And such a great show.
I know. And I love it when they're like, hey, I'm right here with you. You think you're watching that show alone?
Nope.
I'm watching it with you.
But that's so crazy that you knew that he was watching it with you. And then it was kind of like a future prediction. I don't know, just like the then watching it after you knew he was watching it and he was there as you saw the name Calder on the bus. That just is like, it doesn't get any better than that. Come on. Like, that's as good as it gets. That's amazing.
He's hilarious. He does stuff like that.
Aww. So this is Carla. Jane, you just met Carla. She just came in here.
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
She's our Emmy Award-winning executive producer,
woo-hoo!
Medium, mm-hmm. mom.
Best kind.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And
what a delight.
I know. And she's the woman who helped my friend Eliza get through the loss of her Caleb. And
yes, well, I like to think of it that we helped each other because it was, I believe you guys talked to Eliza about this, but she and I, after we became close enough where we talked about everything nonstop really fast, as opposed to that beginning of your relationship when you're like, so do you think that sometime, and then we were like, I was so miserable. She's like, I said, I just would lay in bed and wish I had a friend who I could relate to exactly like this, like who had a son. I was specifically a son who was around first grade, who crossed unexpectedly, and it was a shock, and you just didn't know what to do. And she was like, I wanted that. So we had that moment of realization that we'd both, I want to say, prayed for the same thing. Like, we just wanted it. We wanted it so badly. And when it happened, my girlfriends here who had been like doing their best to comfort me and try to relate to me were so relieved and happy that I had Eliza.
Yeah. Yeah, I can speak to that, because when she got introduced to you, I mean, she was very new into her grief. Like, it had just been a few months, and
yeah,
like, you came into the scene at a time when she really needed you. And I just remember thinking, oh, thank God. And it just, like, watching everything, all the synchronicities happen on the side. Like, we very early on knew that Caleb was still around. We very early on knew that Eliza's boy was still there and was still sending messages. And Laura Lynn Jackson, who you were in touch with also, right?
Yes.
Was the one who kind of put you guys in touch with each other.
Yeah, no, 100%. She put us in touch. So what happened was, I was still trying to be the Carla I was before Calder died. And so I was, like, still trying to, like, create TV shows and pitch shows. But then there's so many synchronicities. Let me just go back a second. So I was also sent the manuscript for The Light Between Us.
Whoa.
Not by Laura, by random friend of mine, Sandy, who had lost her sister. And she said, we had the same kind of, like, are we going to talk about this? Are we going to talk about the other side? And then once we did, the floodgates were open. She's like, I'm going to send you a book. You have to read this book. So I read it. Similar reaction. It starts with Laura talking to the children. So I was like, as a producer, I was like, I have to meet her. I have to get this message out to the world through television. Like, I didn't realize there was any other way to do it at that time in my life. So by luck, we had the same agent at the time. So at the same, not the same agent, but we were at the same agency.
Yeah.
So we were able to put it together, and the minute we got on the phone together, she was like, I feel like I'm supposed to give you a reading. And I was like, yay. Yeah. I didn't want to be a professional. So I was like, well, sure. If we have time for that, that would be nice. And so we went to film, like, a show, like, it's called a sizzle reel, where you proof of concept out the show. And we were in her kitchen. So I got a reading from her in her kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah. And Calder, of course, came through immediately. He was like, she's like, he's been hanging around all morning and, like, being like, telling me about my house and things I should do. And she starts her readings kind of psychically, where she gives you an overview of your soul purpose. Mm-hmm. So she was trying to do that. And she's like, I can't get through it because your son won't let me finish what I'm saying. And then she gave me the most amazing reading. And at the end of it, when we filmed it,
oh my gosh, you filmed it, right?
Yeah, so I had it. And then at the end, you know, because Caleb came through during my reading with Calder.
Eliza's Caleb, yeah.
Eliza's Caleb.
And you guys, listeners out there, Eliza has a son named Caleb who's on the other side, but Carla has a son named Caleb as well, who's not on the other side, who's here, yeah. So
he's here.
That's so crazy. That blows my mind.
So, but at that point, you hadn't met Eliza. You didn't know anything about Eliza. You're in your kitchen getting a reading from the Laura Lynn Jackson, and she starts to bring through this other random kid who happens to have your son's other name.
You know how it goes, because you're mediums and you'll get a piece of information. And so she's like, well, your son is talking about my friend's son. I don't know what. And then she was kind of like sussing it out. And she's like, so my friend's son's name is Caleb. So, you know, it's happening in real time. And I'm right. I just like don't say anything, but I'm like, and she goes, so your son is telling me he has a Caleb on the other side with him, but you have a Caleb here. In physical. And I was like, what? That's true. And she was like, oh, that's what he wants me to let you know. And then she went into the message about how my son Calder is with my son Caleb here always. Because at that time, we have teenagers now, but when my son crossed, my Caleb was a baby. He was like 4 and a half, almost 5. So he was, you know, confused, to say the least. And then at the end of the reading, which was so beautiful, she said, you know, we turned off the microphones and the cameras, and she said, would you be interested in talking to Eliza? Because I was a year down the grief road, and she was, like you just said, only 3 or 4 months in. And I was like, of course. Like, it never occurred to me I could help someone by talking to them if she needs that. And yeah, and I just knew immediately, like, yes. And then, yeah, once we got through the awkward beginnings of the relationship, of any relationship, like, you know, because I didn't want to be like too like heavy handed, because I feel like people aren't always aware of how deep the grief is in the beginning, or how unbalanced you are, and how any wrong turn of phrase can really sip you into a deep dive of sadness. And so I didn't want to be the cause of that. I only wanted to be positive. And then once we got comfortable, we just talked about everything all the time. It was beautiful.
Oh man, I mean, so many magical gifts of spirit. It's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary story, how the Calebs and the Calders and the like all of that magic.
Well, I know. I kind of feel like, I mean, from this side, I know Eliza put out into the universe, I need, because as much as I was trying to be there for her, as much as all of our friends were, like, we couldn't understand what she was going through. So she needed somebody who knew exactly what she was going through. And she's like, I just need someone. And then you appeared. I mean, it was just like an answer to her calling, like, universe, please help me. And there you are. So, yeah.
And it was the same on my side, like exactly the same.
That's amazing.
And my friends felt that way too. They were like, thank goodness. It's just so hard. Like, because if you can't, I feel like all the grievers out there know. Like, it's a very specific, it seems like, oh, someone, you lost a loved one. But I think with everyone, it's very specific. Like, if you lost a father, you relate better to someone who's lost a father.
Yeah, right?
That if makes you lost, so much sense. And it was because Eliza and I are in a smaller, like, slice of life where, you know, there are many people who've lost 6 or 7 year olds, but it's much fewer than, let's say, a dad or an uncle, or even a drunk driving accident with a teenager. So it was hard. It was like we couldn't relate to anyone. So that's why it was so magical when we got together. We were like, you know, you can just feel the, and because we're both empaths and mediums now, we could just feel the connection.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good note about kind of the subtleties of how we grieve. And like, for example, my dad died when I was 20. And when I would meet someone who lost either parent, but, you know, to your point, dads, we called, you know, the 20 or in the 20s, we call it the Dead Dads Club. And yeah, it sounds kind of like crass or something, but it was so comforting. I'm like, oh, you're in the Dead Dad Club. Okay. And then there's immediately like a connection, an understanding of like, you understand how like half your world dropped out, you know, and then you're sort of kind of walking around with everyone else who still gets to have one of those.
Right. Yeah. It's so, yeah, exactly. It's that exact feeling. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I guess that's what leads a lot of us down this path, right?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And it took another like 15, 20 years for me to sort of come to it. Cause I wound up having another family member who was young cross in order to push me really into this. But I was on a spiritual path almost immediately, because when someone kind of steps over into the abyss, that is like your favorite person on earth, when they go, you're like, well, shit, I'll go too. Or, you know what it is. It just yes. like opens this like vacuum. And it's something I've noticed, because I've had quite a few losses. And each time I'm like, God, there's like a vacuum. Do y'all feel that? Like where there's like, and it for me, depending on the relationship, it lasts for however long it lasts, but there is like a vacuum. And then I'm like, it'll close. And then it closes, you know, like there is some kind of, it's almost like, and that's probably that expression, like they took my heart with them, or I went with them, or like, I think there's like soul parts of us that like jump over. And then we have to kind of like, in order to stay super safe and sane and happy here, we have to kind of like bring our little selves back. But anyway.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've never heard anyone describe it as a vacuum before, but I feel like that is, I've heard like the, like you're missing a leg or you're missing a limb analogy, but a vacuum is so true. And it's really interesting to, or not interesting, it's devastating to have to parent, to parent through it. Like, especially if there's, like Eliza had a daughter.
Yeah.
And I mean, thank goodness you guys came up with a pact to have another baby.
Yeah. I know. It's like, whatever you need, I'll do it. Yes, you need another baby. Let's go.
That's amazing.
That's one of my favorite stories in life. Yeah. And especially that Laurel Lynn Jackson walked up to your husband and was like, heads up.
Yeah.
Incoming.
Yeah.
Here comes an amazing baby girl. Watch
out. Yeah. Laurel Lynn Jackson needed to tell my husband. Yep. Just do it. Yeah, you won't regret it. It's coming. Yeah.
Incredible.
She is amazing.
It's been, it's just the 10-year mark, right? Like this past April of Calder's Crossing. I mean, you went from one life, you're briefly talking about that, to now you've got this whole different understanding of life now. You want to speak a little bit to that?
Yes. So I was, I feel like everyone, like Jane was saying, goes through a, wait a minute, I'm supposed to live through this? Like, you kind of give thought to, let me just go with, I feel like I was straddling that for a while, because the first year you're a zombie. And then the second year you have the realization of, what? I have to live the rest of my life with this loss? And so then, you know, I was lucky enough to have these experiences that opened me up, because I'm not sure that I would have chosen to stick around. It was like a pain that I had never felt before. So I wasn't sure how to get out of it. So this was my trajectory. So my husband, so we worked in television, right? So I have to say, I'm very envious of you ladies. I know, Jane, you moved to Hawaii, but the fact that you had your group in California where you could basically, you have like a whole medium coven, let's say, of people. I was like, if you moved to California, you could basically throw a gluten-free muffin in a PTA meeting and hit a medium. Because it's so...
Oh my gosh.
And it better be gluten-free and made with avocado oil.
I'm a gluten-free medium.
Me too. Yeah.
It's so prevalent there, right? And in, you don't realize it, but in TV, it's like, there's always a medium show. Like when I lived in LA, there was John Edward.
Right.
And James Von Prague.
Yeah.
Who are now like considered, sorry guys, like old timers. Like now it's the Long Island medium and that cute little blonde.
Tyler Henry. Tyler Henry. So cute. He's ridiculous. I love him.
So cute. But so I didn't, like, Eliza was like, her sister-in-law reached out to her and said, oh, Laurelyn Jackson wants to give you a reading. I wasn't getting that. There was no mediums around. But yeah, someone we worked with in TV said this to Chris. Now, my husband, Chris, would be like, what? You want me? There's what? Someone wants to give me a what? And that's how he was. But then because of the way everything works, I'm sure Calder was pushing a little bit. He had a reading with a medium from LA named AJ Barrera, who's amazing also. And he had the reading all by himself in his office. Luckily, AJ recorded it because he kind of kept it as a secret for a while.
And from then you, he didn't tell you?
No, he didn't tell me for several days.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when he finally did tell me, I was like, you know, I wanted to listen to it immediately.
Of course.
And at the end of the reading, my husband, who's so sweet, goes, well, I'm sure my wife would want this also. Can you do a reading for her? And AJ was like, well, why don't you let her listen to it and let's see? Because, you know, there's that. He didn't want it to cast any kind of doubt on how clear that reading was, or he had a reason he didn't want to do another reading. And that sent me off into, like, again, I felt like I was being challenged. Oh, you don't want to do a reading for me? I'm going to find you.
Oh, yep.
Is this what you were asking me?
I don't know, but I like where it's going. Keep going.
So he basically, so I don't know if this is the proper place to say, so I just also finished writing a book, and this is all in the book.
Of course.
Yeah, that was about
that. I just read your manuscript. It's amazing. It's a total page turner.
Totally.
And it hasn't been published yet, but when it gets published, all of the listeners need to read this book because it really, like, your journey from where you were before you had any idea that you could do this to where you are now is just kind of amazing.
Yes, I would have never thought that I could give readings to other people. And so the funny thing about that is, and why I said that right before I told you the story, is so this guy AJ was like, well, I don't know if I should do a reading for her right away. I was like, I'm going to find him. I get on my computer. I find out he's having a mediumship convention in Virginia Beach. Now I'm in Miami. I haven't left my 3-block radius in months and months. Chris wakes up the next morning. I'm like, I booked a ticket to Virginia Beach. I'm going to a meeting convention to find AJ.
You're on a mission.
Grief does crazy things to you.
I would do that out of grief, but I'm just saying, I guess I'm just crazy. But yeah, I can imagine. You're like, no, no, no. I need you. Where are you?
Right.
I love that. I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, no. I was just like, but I was trying to be like sleuth about it. So I went under a false name so that he couldn't figure out who I was. Now, you know, he's done like probably 100 readings between the time he read for my husband and this thing in Virginia. But I was like under a false name. I'm not going to let anyone have any information about me. We'll see. We'll see if this is really true. Like that's where I was in my life. Oh,
I see. You were investigative reporting. I see.
Yes.
I see. Oh, very cool.
I wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
But I was just going to make sure. Like, I think I was borderline insane.
No.
But anyway, just
all fair.
Yeah. So I got there undercover and surprisingly, he did not recognize me. Go figure that one out. So, and it was just like, a weekend of listening to meditations, realizing these people are not trying to hoax anyone. They're not trying to take people's money. They were literally trying to explain to everyone how to give the best reading, which are the classes I ultimately ended up in years later. But I guess I wasn't fully ready, because then I did get a reading from Calder at that weekend, but it took a while. And there's a lot of other things that happened that I chronicle in the book. But it was the very last day that Calder came through. And I was just like undone by that. Like, I just, like, I interrupted the whole place because I was so emotional. And all the mediums, you would think they'd be like, oh my God, this girl's like upsetting the whole weekend. But instead, each and every one of them gave me a reading.
Oh. Like, yeah.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. So then I went home and I went back to thinking I was still a TV producer, like trying to keep everything together. And it was probably a year, a little over a year before I met Laura Lynn Jackson. But in between, I did seek out other mediums.
Yeah.
And I, because I just wanted the validation.
Yeah. Which totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that your husband got that reading. I guess for some reason I thought that was after the Laura Lynn Jackson. You're saying that all happened before. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
That all happened before. And then I also had a friend who had come from LA to work with us, and he had just produced a show with a medium named Rosie Sapiro. It was a show on TLC called Angels Among Us.
Oh, cool.
And so he invited her to Miami, not telling me, not telling her why, like thinking, oh, maybe we'll do some business. But he really wanted her to give me a reading. And so we all went out to lunch, and it was one of those things that happened like at lunch. Like Calder came through, of course, immediately and was like, Hey, lady, you need to talk to my mom about all this stuff. And Rosie looked at me and she goes, do you have a little purple bag that you keep in your purse? Like, such specific information.
Yeah.
And my friend was like, what are you talking about? And I reach into my purse and I pull out the purple bag, and he started freaking out and I started crying. And it's just like the amount of things that have happened over these years is just too much to deny. It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And then what put you on the path of trying to figure out how to do it yourself? I mean, was it, I know that you got a lot of readings, right? And I know that not all of them were exactly helpful too. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I know that
sure.
Not every medium is a fit for every person.
That's true. And that's something I've learned over my own learning experience. But I'll go back to the statement that you have to be very careful with people in new grief. Mm-hmm. And you have to be, I mean, I think that's why we're all mediums, right? Because we're loving and we want to help heal and make sure everyone knows that love is ongoing and our loved ones are on, continued to be with us and still love us. And I got a reading from someone who then like really got into the nitty gritty of the moment of crossing, and I didn't need to hear it, nor was I ready to hear it, nor maybe if it happened today, I would understand it at least. But at the time, it just felt like pain. It felt painful to hear it.
Yeah.
And so I have to say, like, it just really, not that I knew I was going to be a medium when that happened, but having had these experiences, it only made me feel more strongly that I should be very mindful to never cause additional harm to someone.
Yeah. I think that's something that all of the mediums that you and I, we all practice with. That's our creed. Do no harm.
Yeah.
You know, and just being very intentional about what we say.
I wonder though, Sarah, like as I was just thinking that thought, like I agree, like we kind of run in a circle that's, it's like a lot of sweethearts, you know, mm-hmm. like that are just truly coming from. And our teacher, for example, is very compassionate, and he's always coming from inspiration. He's, you know, it's just that kind of, but I also think there's like, to your point, maybe there's some information that I don't know that all mediums really have, like, even if they're coming from the very best place, like, would they know that someone in fresh grief shouldn't hear XYZ? You know, that needs to be filtered. Like some of the stuff that needs, because I think that a lot of newer mediums are just like, oh my God, there's information. Oh my gosh, I got to share it. I mean, you know, they're not doing the like half second filtering of like, does that need to go across? Does that need to go across? You know, and that just comes with experience and capacity and yada, yada. But I feel like this seems to be like a particular important that you're bringing to the world of mediumship of like, okay, congratulations, you can hear them. You've got the purple bag in the purse. What are you going to say? What are you going to not say? How are you going to say it? Are you not going to use that tried line of whatever, whatever? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I was reading your book, and which I love too, total page turner. I'm like so excited for it to be in the world. And I read something that I was like, oh shoot, I have done that. I did it on this podcast. You said that saying you've experienced the worst thing is not a line you ever want to hear. And I said that exact line to Eliza, and I've said it to my sister. And I'm like, okay, I love knowing that. Like, I hate that I was that person. But now our audience members can know, like, don't say that. Like, it's already done. Or however you would tell us not to say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. I think this is such important information, even though it was like a gut punch. I was like, oh, shit. Because, of course, my intentions are blindingly good, but I still made a guffaw, right?
Right. I know. I feel like... I feel like it's hard not to say something to a grieving parent that's not like, there's no language for it, right? We don't have a manual. There's no one really wants to talk about grief. Nobody really wants to talk about, forget the other side. Nobody wants to talk about the pain you're going through when you're here and you're dealing with it. And so
yeah.
I just wanted to give a couple of little guidelines because it's like, it's true. Like, it is true what you're saying. Like, it is one of the worst possible things. But I feel like it almost then adds a burden to the person who's grieving. And all of my friends, many of them have said this to me, so I apologize because I'm going to tell you what the one that, like, still to this day, I'm like, I don't know how you get out of bed every day. Mm. And I'm like, I know. I don't either. But like, what am I, like, what do you say to that? Like, I know what they mean. Like, they're like, I, as a parent, you've overcome this, but it's just like the way it's said. Maybe that'll be my next book, The Etiquette of the Grieving Parents. Like, you know, just to help people. It's not, it's like when you meet someone who's differently abled or has different challenges. I'm sure they've heard a million times, like, wow, I'm impressed you're like scooting around on your wheelchair like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 So how we, like, how we think we're being helpful. And it's just another like, oh God, just stop. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, yeah, I don't think it was done out of malice. It's just, you know, these things that how would you know if you're not in my shoes?
Yeah.
That's why we educate people.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's, I mean, I genuinely am excited about that because I know that, you know, we're all just like trying to walk each other home and we can't walk without like some good topics of conversation. That's what I'm saying. It's like, how do we say like, hey, I just, you know, I do think like a griever's handbook like a, you know, stand with me griever's handbook. And I'm sure that exists on Amazon, but it's sort of like to mainstream that, like for you to bring that forward. Cause when, you know, like I lost friends when my dad died, cause they were allergic to me cause they didn't want their dad to die. And I think it's like similar, right? Like I'm comparing a different, very different experience, but it's the one I've had. And it was like, dude, get over here. Just like eat pizza with me. Like, let's not lose our friendship because you're like suddenly scared of me because I can't stop crying or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, right. I think it's a really important topic.
I do too. I think you said something important, Jane, which is people don't want to be around you because you're living through one of their worst fears, right?
Right.
Like you lost your dad. All these 20-year-olds are like, that can happen. Like you don't think that can happen. So as a parent who loses a child, people are like, oh, you are living the worst nightmare. So they're not trying to. Yeah, I think they like to, you know, of course, not everyone can deal with that. So they just step out of your life.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And maybe that's the blessing. It's all fine, right?
Yeah.
But there is like those of us who are like, I think it's pizza. Like, you know, one person took me bowling and it was the best. They were like, do you want to go bowling? And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go bowling. Like, let's throw a heavy ball down a slidey thing. Yes. Do you know? Like,
absolutely. Just something silly. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm, yes.
Amazing. Wow. Yes. Well,
I will say, are we done? I wanted to tell you guys one more story.
No, keep going.
We want to hear it.
I also want to know, Carla, like how did you get to be medium? Because I happen to know that you're an amazing medium now. It didn't just happen overnight. It didn't just happen because you went to mediums. But like now you give people readings. You've given hundreds of readings. You've given me readings. You've brought through my spirit guides. Like you've given me, like it's just amazing what you do now. So I want to hear that's available to everybody. If they want
it's the fun stuff. Yeah, that's the fun thing, right? Like, it's okay. So the story I was about, you must be psychic because the story I was
about pizza bowling.
Well, the story I was going to tell was like when we, Sarah and Eliza and a bunch of our friends went to Sedona for some witchy woo thing, and which was great fun. And Eliza and I were such baby mediums at the time that we all ate dinner and we're like, let's go back to our hotel room and try to bring the boys through. And we're like, let's go. And like, so we ran back to our hotel room. And we, for the first time, brought the boys through. Like, we took turns. And I remember it so distinctly because Caleb gave me a clear image. You know, when you're a baby medium, you need something very specific to hold on to. So he gave me a clear image of him on this toy, which is like cups with strings that you walk on. And so I was delivering it to Eliza. And because there's no etiquette when you're with your friend in a hotel room, like giving a reading, she's like, oh my God, Diana, you remember that picture? I have that picture up right now. And we're like, having these huge reactions to every piece of information. And it was the moment where we were like, oh, we can do this. Wow. And then she brought information about Calder through. And we left there going, all right, we can do this. And I literally doubled down. I took like, I had already read, oh, you can't see my bookshelf, but I had read like a million books already. And we found classes like Sarah and Eliza and Jane. I don't know who your teacher is, but we found all these classes and I took class after class. And part of those classes is giving readings, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I felt like that wasn't enough. So we found this woman, Sally Hawk, created a website called verysoul.com. where you as a medium can go on and give readings to people. Well, first you give them to other mediums to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like a step program for the mediums. And then you give them to people who have volunteered to listen to mediums. And then you actually are giving readings to people who need readings.
Mm. Yeah, so it's like so incredible because it sets you up with people who are looking for this and makes it so easy to connect. And so you can be practicing as many hours a day as you want. And you're getting feedback, which is the other really important thing, is to get the feedback to know if what you're getting or if how you're delivering it or how you're deciphering the information is making sense. Yeah. So both you and Eliza does it too. So the three of us have both been on Very Soul and it's been amazing. We'll have to get Sally Hawk on here at some point.
Yes.
She's amazing. You know, she got that. It was all a download from Spirit to create that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Website.
That makes total sense. She's like, Spirit was like, listen, we need this whole thing. And she was like, really, me? And they were like, yeah, yeah. And she was like, okay, I'm really good at organization or whatever.
Yes, God she's bless amazing. Her.
Exactly.
Oh, shoot. That's a lot good for her. Yeah, I can't wait to meet her. I'm such a fan. I've only just, I haven't been on the platform because I had a very full-time job until recently. But it's very special. I do know that. And I've watched Sarah develop. Like, she went from like baby medium to like badass medium in like 5 minutes because she was on Verisol, like just working so hard. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's inspiring. I remember Eliza and I were talking about how many readings you were doing, and we were inspired by that, Sarah. It was like, that's what we got to do. So then we started doing as many as we could. And I will say they had created this feedback, like Sarah said, so you know, like, am I doing this? And I still to this day, when I get the feedback, I'm like, oh, it's working. Even though it's been hundreds and hundreds.
It's always still a miracle, isn't it? I just love it so much. It's just like the weirdest miracle. And then also that time jumping thing that you were talking about, like where your son was like, I'll see you later. And then he pulls up a bus. Like they do that, right? Like we start hearing about a reading like 2 days before and suddenly there's information and you're just like, oh, that's why we were talking about popcorn or why I had to buy popcorn or why, you know, like life just gets so wacky and wonderful and magical. I'm so happy that you're a medium now. I want to come for a reading.
Yes. Let's all do readings for each other. It's so funny that you said that because I just did a reading this morning on Very Soul for a woman. And yesterday I had been talking. I was like, this is such an interesting conversation we're having about someone who had to be like had a medical condition, had to go to a certain place and da, da, da. And wouldn't you know, I'm talking to this woman today and she's like, can you tap into my sister who's still here? Like it was at the end of the reading.
Yeah.
And give me some information to help her. And it turned out she had the same medical condition and was in the, and I was like, I love it when this happens. Like it's like, if you pay attention to life, right? The messengers are everywhere.
Yeah, that should be the main headline. If you pay attention.
Pay attention.
To life.
The messengers are everywhere.
Yes.
In the weirdest, most ridiculous places. It's right here.
I know, it's awesome.
It's totally awesome. Wait, so did your story actually answer your question? Like, did we do it? Was there anything else, Sarah, that you... I know you love Carla so much.
How to become a medium.
How you became one.
Well, I'm just so inspired by you and by Eliza.
Yeah.
It's like you figured out how... Like, because I saw you at the beginning of this. I don't know if we were recording yet. I saw you being aware of Calder right there laughing you were telling us the story about him watching sex education. Watching that, like I could see you hearing him and noticing him right there laughing. I mean, like you're with him, he's with you, you know, that I feel like that's so inspiring and so beautiful.
It is so beautiful. And it's so, yeah, I still though, you know what that thing is? I'm surprised all the time. And I feel like that's part of the magic. The clever ways that he gets the information through. Or I will wrap up by saying this. So I was just talking to a girlfriend of mine who was very much, she was doing volunteerism on the Very Soul. So she was sitting for reading after reading after reading after reading for like months.
Wow.
And she called me last week. She's like, I took a new job. I can't do it anymore. And she's like, so now what do I do with all of this spirituality? Like, it's been like, now I'm not getting the readings. Like, how do I live a normal life again? And I was like, well, you're always living the same life. And now it's like expanded. Right. Like now you'll be able to, like we just said, notice when you'll be able to hear something in a different and new way in your new job. Like, exactly. You don't have to. She's like, I can't tell them that I did that. I'm like, you don't need to tell anyone. But just like, be happy that you know now. And you can go back to it when you want to, or you can share when you want to, or you can turn someone else on to this. Yes. And let them know, right?
Yeah. It's so funny. You have to have, I'll say I have spirit eyes sometimes. Like I almost like, it's almost like I put on the glasses. I'm like, spirit eyes. And then I'll see like a little twinkle above someone's head and I'll be like, they're safe. You know, like I can talk to them. And I'm like, cause like just now someone's like, what are you recording your podcast for? I was getting on a plane and I was like, for a spiritual topic. And he was like, wonderful. And I was like, it is. Discernment, baby. Discernment.
It's so funny, Jane. I can't believe I didn't bring this up when you were talking about your dad. But I have a girlfriend here who just lost her dad. Mm. Now, he lived to be 86. But she's so never painful. Lost anyone. I know, it's so painful. And she has never lost anyone close to her. I mean, she went through the whole Calder thing with me, but she doesn't get near this, really. She's kind of like you said, she didn't have the sparkle. And so she just didn't want to talk about it. It made her uncomfortable. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. She was like, she goes, oh, are you going to talk to your witchy people? Okay, I'll see you later. Like she just,
I love it. Call me later when we can get a latte. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Except then after I was running late after her father's funeral, there was a Shiva and I was running late to it. And I'm like, how can I be running late? This is horrible. And I go outside and I literally, as I step outside, there's this huge rainbow outside. And I took a picture of it for her and I sent it to her. I was like, I think the reason I'm running late is because your dad wanted you to know he made it safely to the other side. I know. So she didn't process that because she couldn't, because she was in early grief. And then several months later, she had a visitation dream with her dad. She blew up my phone. Like, I was like, she was like, I have to talk to someone who can talk to me about this. And she was like, is this real? I feel like I was talking to him and he was with me. Is this real? Like, she just was like, all of a sudden she was like, okay, I'll talk about it. And I was like, see, there is a reason like that. You've been hearing my stories all these years. Yeah. Like, yes, this is real. Your dad came to let you know he's okay. And the dream was so like perfect and letting her know that she had done the right things and taken care of him and everything she could do. And I was like, be happy that you remembered it too. Like you woke up and you knew he was with you.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Good work, Carla.
Really good work.
Good work, Bob.
Good work.
Oh, the Bobs. We always have Bobs.
I had a reading
show
today where a Bob came through.
No way.
Funny. Well, Carla, nice. Thanks so much for coming on. I love you. And I love everyone.
I love you.
And keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. You gals keep up the good work. This is so much fun that you guys, I've listened to every episode. Good job.
Aww. Aww. Thanks. Well, you're a special guest. I'm so happy you came on. Thank you for bringing you. And I can't wait for your book.
Yay. Thank you.
Put information in the show notes of how to pre-order or however it's going to work.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, right. Ladies.
Thank
what a
you.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Love y'all.
Love
everyone
you.
Else.
Medium Curious is made possible
by Jane Morgan Editing.
Sarah Rathke made the amazing music.
And Gigi Hawkins, podcast consultant.
Mix by podcast engineers. Our logo was created by Eric Allen.
Kyle Hansen McKee, photography.
And the dogs under the desk in Hawaii are Kalea and Domino.
And Trixie in California.